Carmen.
All right.
And Walter.
Okay. All right. So, thank you. My name is Ward Strauss. You're Con Edison Solutions. Con Ed Solutions is a wholly owned subsidiary of Con Edison. For people who don't know, some people do, some people don't. I'm kind of running the line. Con Edison is the first and the oldest utility in the country. And, you know, we're known for, you know, steam distribution, KW, down south, and, you know, New York City and all the boroughs and everything. So about 15 years ago, 18 years ago, they said, okay, what's the utility of the future? What is it going to look like? To start an unregulated arm. That's us. We're nationwide. We go across the country. And our focus is reducing operating costs. To get to the meat and potatoes because of the time, what's in it? What's the benefit to Derby? And if you go to the heading right there, benefit of Derby right here, and right here, this page, the benefit to Derby is this. You get to address infrastructure items. You spend right now about $650,000 a year. We typically whack off about 20 to 30%. We're able to reduce the cost by about 30%. That's about $200,000 a year. Now, what that does, two things. It's that that savings goes to servicing the debt that gets structured. Typically, it's a bond or it's a TEL program, whatever you guys want to do. There's a couple of ways to finance it, to structure the deal. Low interest, it's about 2.8%. It's tax exempt. You get a lot of different things done by that. And there's two very important things. This should not be looked at as an investment from a standpoint of Wall Street, meaning that what you're going to get done here are things that have long return items, infrastructure items. What we do is we take a look at the full breadth of the system. We take a look at the pumps, the motors, of course, the lighting. The lighting has quick return, but it pays for a lot of things that need to get done. Like in the back of the pages, when we start getting into the schools, you'll see some of the schools have older boilers. This building has an old carrier machine upstairs with a burnout on compressor number one. That needs to be replaced. So we need to rig it up. We need to pull the old, put the new one in, size it efficiently. Those things typically don't have a quick, super quick return, but it does have a return. So we are able to bundle up these whole things, and typical term is about 15 years. I don't care about the term. You know, it's whatever you guys want to do. But usually 15 years, and that allows us to do infrastructure things. We also take a look at controls. Because you could change all the lights, you could change all the motors and everything else, but if you can't control it, and if you don't have control over it to do reporting, milestones, and be able to do trending and understand where your energy is going, it goes for naught. So our price is guaranteed, fixed price, no change orders. We guarantee all our savings. You have us standing behind it. So the $6 billion company. We stay with it. We stay with it with service. It's very important to me. It's factory service. That's my background. And what's important is wrapping up. So when we install something, I'm wrapping it with a full maintenance contract to make sure the filters are done. I want the compressors measured. I want the mega readings done in the stat pack so everybody can take a look. When the person's gone, you can take a look at the history of the equipment and know what's going on with it. Typical cash flow, this is what we did in Stanford. That cash flow is represented. I was debating to do a pro forma cash for you guys. We'll show you what really happened. City Stanford, we got $3 million as far as incentives are concerned. We're spending off over close to $250,000 a year for the city. We're saving them about 30%. It's very comprehensive, and we're not just taking the cream.
I thought that was an important one to put in there. It kind of gives you, there's two parts to that slide. The bottom part of the slide shows the debt service and the savings. I'm sorry, the top of the slide shows the debt service and the savings, and the bottom is the net cash flow to the city of Stanford. So one of the requirements that their Board of Finance had was they want the project to spin off at least $200,000 a year, positive cash flow, so they can do other things with that money. One of the things the mayor had mentioned to us, he needs to purchase more cop cars. So in order to do that, he needed money to do it. So we said, okay, so we'll do enough lights and controls and other things such that there's additional cash flow for him. So we're doing a lot of infrastructure items there as well. We're doing boilers within the city of Stanford. We're doing a major control system upgrade project there.
Right, for the reasons we talked about.
Yeah, one thing Ward didn't mention is being Con Ed Solutions is we are agnostic when it comes to vendors of equipment. If you prefer one vendor over another, we don't manufacture anything. So if you want a train chiller versus a carrier chiller, so be it. It's your choice. You're gonna live with it for 20
right.
years.
Yeah, that's
control system, same thing.
All we do is energy. That's right. It's kind of nice.
And from a pricing standpoint, open book pricing thing, I know you're gonna get there. Your next discussion.
That's good. Well, I was gonna peel off. Is there any questions so far with what we're talking about? No.
Have you done any energy audit at all in the city?
This one
to this point.
Just baselines? No. We didn't get in depth. What we did is I took a quick look. See, I went up on the roofs. I took a look around. I took a look at some of the controls. Had conversations with some of the people best I could.
I was just curious to see how far you
Steve, to be honest with you, my background service, I was a service engineer for Carrier for a number of years, factories, centrifugals, absorption, central plants. And, in order to get into it and really figure out, you got to get into it. We've got to put current transformers on them, the runtime, hobos, to understand the systems and where they go. What I know is, and a figure I feel really good about, is a 20 to 30%. Because I have data to show that. I have a good pool and a good sampling to show the impact.
How are you going to tie into that solar array that we have?
Simple. It gets done all the time, and that sounds like a snap answer, but usually it's a set of contacts we could feed.
Well, my problem with them is
go ahead.
We're agreed to buy X amount of dollars of energy from them.
Yeah, PPA.
And now you're going to come in and we're going to buy X amount of dollars from you.
It's my deal is not necessarily structured as a PPA. My deal is just what we're looking at doing is we're looking to reduce the energy costs in here, and the basket of goods that we come up with, whether it's the lighting and the motors and the boiler and everything else, you put it all together, it costs X amount of dollars. We take that, we go for a bond, or we go for a tax exempt lease purchase, which is a tax exempt financial structure. Very competitive. City of Stamford's 2.4%, 2.3 actually, indicative pricing. Here it's going to be about a little bit more, about 2.5, 2.6, because I know your rating. I looked it up. So I have a gut feel for what it's going to be, depending on the basket assets to look at.
So you base your cost on what they're selling us electricity for, just like it would be a UI.
Right. We take your bill, build a bill, and what we do is we all agree on establishing a baseline year. And I have to hit that. If I don't, I'm cutting checks for the difference.
And it's a blended cost, because that's the electricity that you agreed to purchase from them is a small portion of your overall electrical bill, right? Especially with the high school being electric heat. So so it's a blended rate between the two. You still have that obligation. We would work with that obligation first and then say, what's the remainder of the usage from UI? And we do a lot of work with UI and their incentives and rebate programs.
Right.
Ward and I have taken probably the three largest users on the UI system, off the UI system, with combined heat power plants, Sikorsky being one of them, which we talked about.
Pratt Middletown.
So we have a ton of experience with UI and doing exactly that.
So, that's previous history. But here, there's a lot of infrastructure things, and it's very easy just to take the quick payback and go. I don't think that's the best thing for the city, because you have real needs. You have real issues. From what I've seen, but a lot of places do too. The all electric high school, I understand, might be repurposed, and we understand that. It's in other fields that always happens, whether it be healthcare or higher ed. You have to approach it from a modular approach, and potentially whatever this thing's doing, it won't be doing. It'll be doing something different. So whatever we do is collaborative. We believe in communication, meetings every other week, twice a month. And what we typically do is we run it tight. We run it for 45 minutes. We get up and down. So this way everybody knows what's going on. And we craft something that everybody wants. It's not something that we think is best. It's what we, as a team, think is best, especially with the growing. So the consideration for repurposing for the high school, you already have cogeneration in one of your middle schools. Right. We're excited about that. Because we think we can optimize.
That's why I'm the technical guy. So I'm the design engineer, the professional engineer. The high school was really interesting to me. And what you do in the future with it.
And the middle school to optimize that as far as heat's concerned and squeeze. What we do is we take a very practical approach. So anybody hear about retro commissioning? It's basically taking your existing assets and saying, okay, let me get more out of it. Let me see what I can do to bring it back to original specifications, and what do I know to be able to squeeze more KW out of this thing, or more efficiency out of it? That's what we're going to do with your existing CHP plant. We're going to take a look at that. We think that there's an opportunity there.
I don't know if it was clear or not, but Con Ed doesn't finance the deals, right? So you're not making money on financing.
Right.
Just, again, you're a solutions provider.
Right.
Solutions.
We go out to bid with you guys on it. So we have nothing to do with it. There's no VIG in the middle of that. It makes no sense at all. How we make our money is doing the job, installing it. And we'll do it open book. We love open book. And two reasons. After 28 years at United Technologies, you know, Wall Street looks at you in a different way that they do a utility. So their expectations from you as far as doing business is like a forced curve because you're traded in a different way. But Con Edison is a utility. The expectations from Wall Street is a lot different. And we're able to transfer that down to the marketplace. Very competitive overhead, very competitive profit level. So we can go open book. We don't have to go open book. But just the net of the project, whatever we do here is going to be positive cash flow to you.
Guaranteed,
right. And we stick with it with the service. The service is wrapped in for the long haul. So you have the high school. You know what we're going to be doing there. Retrocommissioning. We're going to look at CHP potentially as long as we have a home for the thermal. The middle school infrastructure, which we mentioned. We've got a lot of retrocommissioning there on the automation. And we're going to take a look at the CHP portion of it. Bradley infrastructure. Same situation. There's different requirements. And there's a picture of a typical, what I call pork chop boiler, which is the existing boilers, which is typical for an H.B. Smith. 90% of your schools have H.B. Smiths in them. Usually what ends up happening, they start leaking at the sections. And after that, you know, the infrastructure starts cracking. On the right-hand side is typical boilers. Condensing boilers are what we typically put in.
And again, on those, we work with utility companies to maximize the incentives and the rebates.
So
just like you would for your home, we do the same thing on the commercial side.
Does anybody have this page? Does anybody have that page right there?
The City Hall?
City Hall. Anybody have that page? How about that guy sitting there, huh? It's Henry. All right, so that on the left-hand side of that is your existing unit. On the right-hand side would be replaced with, you know, whatever's the most effective brand. Right there, it's showing a Carrier, but it could be whatever's the most effective and efficient for the city, especially regarding servicing. So, and also, when we take a look at roofs, because we incorporate roofing, we'll also incorporate typically looking at and doing cost justification on a solar application on the roof. So if you're replacing the roof, you should be thinking about replacing. I just recognized you.
How are you?
All right, how are you? We should be thinking about putting up solar, potentially. We're doing at least the math to see if it makes sense.
In addition to what they have.
In addition to what you have, exactly. So Con Ed is the fifth largest producer of solar PV in the U.S., typically, it's merchant stuff. It's not, it's all, you know, we pour it into the grid and we start about 5 megs and go up to 50 and so on and so forth with wind and also solar. We're doing the Honda plant that just came online in the Midwest and enough of that. Garage street lighting, we'll get into that. We're also going to do automation on the controls for that. The platform that we typically subscribe to is an open protocol platform.
For controls, you're talking.
For controls, I'm sorry. And all that means is that there's no proprietary situation where you're locked into somebody to service it. We're looking for somebody that you have ability to be able to go out to a free market and compete servicing your controls and software upgrades. So, unless somebody feels different, but I was in the control business for a number of years and we used to make a lot of money on software upgrades and everything like that with our systems back then. So what you're left with basically is open protocol platform, something that's from the cities, they can compete for the service after we're done, after a few years. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to be able to bolt on new equipment to it or new controls to it at a very competitive situation. It's not proprietary. And new infrastructure as far as heating, ventilating, air conditioning.
And I think the other piece that me as a tech guy kind of is interested in energy dashboarding. Have you ever heard of that? It gives you metrics on what your school buildings are using every day, every week, every month for utilities. And you can compare it versus last month or last year to see if there's something, an anomaly. that's something we hope you keep an eye on and say, hey, something doesn't look right. You know, something's out of tune. Those are important. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. That's
right around the last page, you have distribution pumps. I love distribution pumps. There's opportunity if you really understand distribution and hydraulics. That's great stuff. We think there's an opportunity there. Potentially pony pumps, definitely VFDs. VFDs are simple. But the key is for us to do the math to see how much volume you're moving and how often and when, and see the losses. And then we can get into potential redesign. We have a lot of experience with that.
And then we understand you're also undertaking a study of your wastewater treatment plant now, is that correct? So that's something we can also offer just as a third-party review of that study, just another set of eyes. As an engineer, I always like to have other people's opinions.
That's why I say so. We already looked at the cogen there.
Sure. We
talked to a couple of people about leasing it from them.
Okay.
So you might fall right into the group.
Sure. And, you know, cogen plants in the state have done Danbury Hospital, New Milford Hospital, and Norwalk.
We.
Fairfield University, Sikorsky, Pratt & Whitney, we've done a ton. Wesleyan University. You've probably heard of microgrids before. That's a hot topic. We did the first microgrid in the state of Connecticut, Wesleyan. So a lot of experience with CHP, if that's something you're interested in.
And again, the intent over here is not to go in with a pre-agenda. We don't have an agenda here. But whatever's served up, I'm all to eat. We can handle it. If you feel we're the appropriate people to be able to do it. And
now, when you're talking about financing, like the rooftop ones here, if we did an energy audit and we added 12 inches of insulation onto that roof and a new deck, would that be part of?
Yeah, we'd do it. And, you know, we'd look at the roof before we replace it because the curving that needs it for the placement of the unit. I might have to elevate it a little bit for my condensate lines.
Yeah, those are exactly the type of things that you can build into a project like this. A lot of schools will want, hey, can you do windows? Because we have some pretty old windows.
Yes.
If you do them on into themselves, they have a very, very long payback. But that's when you have some of the shorter payback items that can help pay for it. That's a great point. But the insulation, you can actually get the utility company to help you with, because it's actually an energy saving associated.
We get a lot of money from the utility company, plus federal programs, too, and grants. That's what we look at. But one thing we won't do is put in a super new, unproven technology. Because it, you know, be a pain in the ass. Excuse me. It needs to work. It needs to be reliable.
Need to be getting big.
Exactly.
No, it's liability. Exactly. Yeah, it's tried and trusted equipment. Is we have to all be able to sleep at night.
So if you have any questions, I've done a lot of talking. Go ahead, please.
Street lighting.
Yes.
What do you propose on those street lighting? What are you doing?
Well, if you guys owned them, I'd love to do them, but I understand you don't own them, right?
Right. UI provides that for us.
So, well, I'll tell you what. In situations like that, what we have to do is take a look at their schedule as far as updating the lights, because you guys pay the KW on it.
Correct.
And what we can do at a minimum, are they obligated to update the lighting for you as part of your deal?
They did? The flattened ones in.
Because a lot of cities are going to LED lighting.
They're getting there.
Okay. We're doing 47,000
low pressure sodium or
in Stanford. So
are you able to do them in conjunction dealing with UI, or we would have to get them to do it?
It comes down to your agreement, right? You're trying to
we're willing to sit down with you. So this is all what it comes down to is that if it's important to you, we need to have a meeting, and we'll sit down with them. We'll have the conversation. And if we can do something that makes sense for the city to do and they'll allow us to do it, then we're going to do it. If it's something we can't do because it's in the agreement, then what are we going to do?
I think a good case in point there would be, let's say they come back to you and say, if you want to update them to LEDs now, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars. If we can roll the X amount of dollars into the project and you get the net benefit of the savings, then it's a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely.
But it depends on that contractor and what that agreement is. You know, we're proposing to use Stanford's contractor of choice that they have for all their
lighting,
because that's who they like to use.
Right.
We're fine with them. You know, let's say we check their pricing, and it's competitive pricing. It fits within the cash flow that you saw there.
Yeah.
So we all want to see, it's in everyone's best interest to have the most efficient equipment out there.
That should be a substantial savings to the city if we go to LED.
Sure.
But would UI go for it?
It depends on how the contractor works. So some contractors will take the UI rebate, which is a standard prescriptive rebate, and roll it into their price to you. So they'll say it's so many dollars per fixture to upgrade it, and it's including the rebate. Some would want to have you apply for the rebate directly, so that's something we'd have to work with them on. I don't know the contractor that you're using. That's a very good point. And the other thing you have to think about is if you do that with them, now their maintenance costs have gone way down. They don't touch those light fixtures for a long, long time. We just went through that in Stanford as well.
You know what I'd like to do is, you know, if there's a situation where you mentioned 2018, so what we're going to do is do an analysis on, you know, not a break-even, well, maybe a break-even analysis plus an analysis whether or not to get out of it, how much would it be to be able to have a city on it. Yeah, all the reasons that you mentioned.
If this company wants a long-term relationship with Derby, they may have a vested interest to modify their agreement, right?
And we would be part of that if you want us to be. It's up to you.
We try to do whatever we can to maximize that cash flow to the city and give you the equipment that you need.
And we'll stand on the sidelines for the wastewater treatment plant because I understand it's a little bit of a... there's a lot of stuff going on there. But we like wastewater treatment plants. There's opportunities there.
I think a lot of it comes down to timing as well, as far as you try to get a lot of work done in the schools during the summers, after hours, right? So,
did you have a question?
No? You want to buy a parking garage?
Okay.
Sold.
Anything else, guys?
No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
How did we do?
Excellent.
Great. Excellent? Okay.
Thank you for your time.
There's going to be a quiz now, Joe.
I mean, be looking forward to you coming back to the full board.
Thank you. I look forward to it, too. I mean, I live in Danbury, so Greg lives in Glastonbury-ish. Not bad. It's a simple drive, right?
The 28th is our
28th?
28th. 7 o'clock. Okay. 7 o'clock.
Upstairs.
Terrific. Well, I know we had 5 minutes. I appreciate you letting us go over.
No problem.
I'm passionate about this stuff. It's just
it's good to get all the information we can.
Yeah. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve. I'm looking at and thinking about you. This is the XUTC guy right there.
Oh, terrific. Tonight was the night.
I love that stuff. So thank you. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Take care.
Carl, you're buying that, right?
Hey, Keith, why do the boilers at Irving School look like crap when we just replaced both of them 2 years ago?
I think a lot of this is bullshit.
Original schools in need of major repairs. Insulation efficiency is very poor.
What did the middle school need? That's brand new.
Well, they keep replacing the light. They did the lights like 3 years ago. Now they're doing them again. Everybody's making money off us on this. Did you see this is $20 million bond? And the high school, the middle school sheds electricity to the high school. Dave Dondon hasn't run that.
Well, yeah, no.
I know.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
What's the fair?
That's good because we pay him.
Did you stand up here? Is that?
Yeah.
you. That's it? And then just to change up page again. Page up, page down. Page up, page down. I got it. Okay, perfect.
Got it. You want to go full scale? Full screen?
Oh, yeah, actually, that would be probably a good thing. Or down at the bottom? You do the bottom over on the right, the big? Yeah, that. No, no. Over. No. Keep on going. That one, the slideshow. Yes, perfect. Okay, great. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'm Sue Doskow with Johnson Controls, and I'm an account manager, and I specialize in working with municipalities and school districts exclusively in Connecticut on this program that we're going to be talking about. Page down doesn't. Henry? Page down is. Do I have a clicker, maybe? Excuse me. Maybe this will work, because that's not. Oh, just the enter button.
Yep.
Okay. Whoops, now I got to go. I'm trying to go up. Oh, so this is working.
Yeah, can you just go back to this one, right?
Yeah, just the first. Okay, perfect. And then just page down from here.
Yep.
What I'd like to talk about is some of the what you can accomplish here within the city, some of the goals as I understand them to be, how to develop a successful project for both the municipal buildings and the school buildings, a little bit about Johnson Controls and our background, and then to answer any questions that you might have. Basically, what performance contracting is it's a financial solution. It's a financial solution that allows you to accomplish capital projects, energy projects, and to do it in a way that you're working from your existing budget. So there's no capital outlay. You could preserve the capital budget. In a lot of cases, there just isn't simply a capital budget at all. It does not require bonding. It's budget neutral. So we're looking at your energy budget, we're looking at your operational budget, and we're trying to find ways in which to make improvements, whether that's a repair of a system, whether that's a replacement of a system, and to use the incremental savings of what that system is consuming of energy now to what it could be. Those incremental savings are then used to reapply into infrastructure projects. And so, therefore, it's positive for taxpayers. I mean, no taxpayer, obviously everybody wants to, have their local government, work with more for less. And that's what really this program allows you to do. And it really gives you the ability to bundle different things. So in other words, you take small payback things with long payback items. You know, for instance, lighting, that's a short-term payback. A boiler system or a heat or a cooling system, that is a very long payback. So we're trying to find ways in which to get to what is the real need, which is capital, the big intensive capital projects. There is a financial guarantee, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more later, and that's important because obviously the risk you don't want as a city, you don't want to have that risk. I mean, we do performance contracting, we specialize in this, we can handle the financial risk. And so basically what that means is that you're then insured that you can pay for all of the improvements with the savings. It obviously, these types of projects also will be able to, you can bundle more, you can shorten the implementation time frame. Because oftentimes you may have a need in, let's say, 2 years for a boiler, 3 years for a boiler, but you need it, but you just don't have the money. We try to pull those projects in so that you're getting a comprehensive solution throughout your buildings. In a performance contract, and this is where it's very different than a traditional, probably the way you've been doing business most of the time is, you know, you put together a bid, you put out to bid, somebody bids on it, they install it, and that oftentimes there's change orders. In a performance contract, there cannot be change orders. There are not change orders. So we are completely responsible for, if we've missed something in a design or we've missed something in an installation, we're on the hook for that and not you. So basically what a performance contract also does is that it's full turnkey. So that Johnson Controls or a performance contracting company that specializes in this would then develop the project, look for where the opportunities are, design the systems, and then oversee the actual construction of the project. So it's a very different model than perhaps you're used to. Vendor neutral, meaning that equipment that we select, I mean, Johnson Controls, you know, we're a big controls company, we're a manufacturer. It is not about our equipment. I have many projects here, even in the state, where because the customer wanted to have a particular system, or maybe they're trying to standardize on something they've already have, we will just continue with that. So this is not about our equipment. It's about picking equipment that is best suited for the application. Maybe you have staff that's used to, or you're trained on something. Like, for instance, in North Haven, we're doing a project there. And the school district had different controls, only one of the buildings. But their staff was familiar with it, they were comfortable with it, they were trained on it. They asked us if we could standardize on that, so we standardized that system throughout the district. Innovative solution, and it's a collaborative effort, meaning that it's a partnership. You know, we're really co-developing, we're coming up with the recommendations, we're sitting down with you, we're reviewing it, and you're determining whether that makes sense or it doesn't make sense. So it very much is a partnership. The steps, and just to kind of explain sort of the steps in the process, I think some of the things that I'm aware of that are issues here is that you have an all-electric high school, which is obviously costing more perhaps than it should be, and that there's been some concern about perhaps changing that. And I know that some of the elementary schools have aging boilers, and here at City Hall, you know, there's some equipment that needs to be replaced and some control systems. So that is my understanding, and it's also, and I know that this is in the future, but I just would like to bring this up. You know, your wastewater treatment plant, and although, you know, you're looking at that and you're reviewing it to determine what's best, if in the future that is something that you need some help on, we have a very specialized department in wastewater treatment plants. So I'm just giving you that as an idea. Obviously, that wouldn't be part of the initial project, but down the road, if you needed help or support with that, we've got a lot of expertise in that. We've got a whole group that formerly ran, you know, wastewater treatment plants. So what do we evaluate? We're really looking at all of your building systems. We're looking at the controls, we're looking at lighting, we're looking at the mechanical systems, we're looking at the electrical systems, how you use water, and we're coming into the buildings and we're looking for opportunities to maximize those systems to give you better performance, lower cost, and the capital that you need. What we do is we develop an actual interactive model. Because oftentimes what we find is that there's more need in the building than there's money. So we actually are coming up with the list of the things that we find with pricing, with savings. And so we have an interactive model where we can sort of, with your help, pick and choose what are the projects that really make the most sense. You know, if you do two boilers here, maybe that means you can't do that here. So that's how we actually sit down and we make final selections. And I realize I'm going through this fast because I know that, you know, time is kind of important for you tonight. So we're looking at, you know, the whole project based upon the need, what the cost would be, and what the savings would be to balance that out. And we're looking for equipment that's really best matched for the particular application and getting input from your staff. Obviously, our job, being the experts of this, you know, we're going to recommend equipment that's going to give you life. We want to make sure that it's, you know, it's a piece of equipment that is going to hold up over the long term. It's going to be easy to maintain it so that there isn't any specialized training that you would need for it. And then it's going to give you the energy savings and the performance. So those are all the things that we're looking at when we are trying to pick the right solution. and then to develop the financial model. Typically, these projects in a performance contract, because they are capital intensive, they do oftentimes require financing. Not bonding, not capital money, but most municipalities, what they will do with this project is that they will do an operating lease. And there's banks, all the big banks are very familiar with performance contracting. You could name probably any of them, and we've done business along with the other big companies that do performance contracting. They love to finance these projects because it's budget neutral. You're not incurring debt over and above your budget. You're making these improvements within the budget, and you have a financial guarantee of a Fortune 100 company. So financing these projects is not an issue at all. We would help you with that. We can help you with the RFP. We did that at North Haven. We developed the RFP for them because we've got a structured finance group, and they put out the RFP. We helped them evaluate it. They picked the partner, and obviously this is a good time to do that because the rates are extremely low, historically low. And then develop the construction schedule, and then we calculate all of the incentives along with the program. Some of the additional benefits, we look to maximize incentives and grants. Not only incentives from the local utility companies, but clean energy, Connecticut Clean Energy Fund is involved. We look at that. We also have a grant department where we'll actually do a search on everything that's available in Connecticut to see if there are other ways that we can help you buy down the project. So that's automatically included in the project. I know that several years ago, the city actually did a municipal energy pledge. What that meant is that you've committed to reducing 20% of your energy by 2020. This program will help you get to that goal. And there's some incentives there, there's recognitions there, and there's money there. So that's something that we would also be able to help apply for and work on your behalf to get that for the project. And utility grants, utility incentives, those are extremely robust right now. The utility companies are really, they're committed to passing out quite a bit of money. North Haven, we did a $6 million project, and their incentives for that project was over $900,000. So that's pretty substantial, and we worked with all of their engineers and giving them all the documentation that they needed, and our energy managers were involved in doing that completely for North Haven, as we would do for you, because that is just part of the service that's included in performance contracting. This also can help you with long-term capital planning. As we start to develop sort of a list of what you need, if you cannot include everything because of just the financial restrictions of it, you then can take the things that we have identified and put it into a plan that makes sense for you in the future, whether it's 1 year, 3 years, or 5 years. Because everything that's needed in a building is going to be identified and obviously then prioritized. So this can be part of it, is to create that long-term capital plan. Educational programs. We think that that's really important. We do a lot of curriculum-based support for the schools and for the community. So we actually have curriculums that we would work with science teachers, math teachers, all STEM-based, so that the kids can then reach the next level of understanding, energy. Some of them actually are interested in engineering as a result of it. So we've got curriculums that we think is really important. And then, of course, whatever type of community outreach you think would be important to help your community, to educate your community about what it is not only that you're doing, but perhaps what they could be doing in their homes and in their businesses to help them. Performance contracting also has inherent flexibility in it. And I'll use the example of East Hartford. We did a couple of projects at East Hartford, and one of the things that they needed there was a new phone system. It was really old. They were spending a lot of money. We did a complete analysis of their spending, and we were able to actually include part of the program, a complete new voice over IP, new phone system for their town and their schools. And again, it's all driven by, was there enough money? Was there enough savings? In that particular case, there was. But if that is one of your priorities, as an example, those are the things that we would try to explore to include, if at all possible. And then public relations, we think that that's important too. And I'll talk about what we're doing, what we did recently over at North Haven. We think that's important because for you to be able to take this story, you know, after you implement it, before you implement it, and let your community know what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it. It's really positive. It's obviously helps with economic development because it creates more jobs. We try to, wherever possible, to include local contractors. Obviously, everything is bid out in how we do it. It's all transparent to you. But clearly, we love working with local contractors because it helps with your community, it helps with the communities, and it also, most often, these are companies that know your buildings. You know, they know the systems, they're familiar with the people, and there's a real advantage from a construction standpoint to try to include as many of those as we could. So moving along, I just would like to just point out, performance contracting has been around for, I think the original concept of it was probably formulated in the 80s. So it's a very mature business, and throughout the country, you know, we do thousands of performance contracts. But let's talk a little bit about just in Connecticut, because these are North Haven, I mentioned, we're doing a project, and we're about a month away from completely installing it. We've been there for about a year. They have five town buildings and five school buildings that we did comprehensive work in. As a matter of fact, this is a perfect example of capital. North Haven had three buildings, seven boilers that were really old. One of the schools, it was over 50-year-old boilers. They did not have a capital budget. They heard, you know, they knew what performance contractor was. We did the analysis for them, and in this project, we included seven boilers. The police department, the high school that has three huge boilers, and an elementary school. And then, as I mentioned, over $900,000 in incentives that we were able to secure for them as a result of the project. East Hartford, we did two phases there for them. You know, one of the things that, and I'd like to mention this, because in a performance contract, there is the financial guarantee. And the financial guarantee is really important, because it obviously makes sure that somebody's tracking and monitoring the savings and then reporting it so that you can obviously pay for the lease or however you're going to pay for it. So there's an energy manager for every year of the contract, and what they do is they monitor on a monthly, a quarterly basis just to make sure everything is going okay. You're still maintaining it, you still have control, it's your building, it's your people. In East Hartford case, we got to the third year of the guarantee, and they saw that we were making the guarantee. And so they stopped, actually, the measurement and verification services. So there is that flexibility also. Now in, for instance, L&M's, Lawrence Memorial Hospital, they're into their sixth year of the guarantee, but they want the energy manager being the watchdog. So again, there is that flexibility. Thomaston, we did a project there about a year and a half ago, we completed it, and there we did a renewable technology. We did a geothermal system in their town hall, and we're able to secure a grant there, incentives from the Connecticut Clean Energy Fund, which was really positive, and they had a little PR event to highlight that. And then Lawrence Memorial Hospital. And I mentioned, you know, obviously a hospital is probably the most intense type of a project in terms of just construction and coordination. You know, so even though that was a performance contract, I wanted to mention it because it's in Connecticut, and it also was one of the largest incentives to date of any entity. Over $2 million we were able to secure for that project. So this is a sampling of here in Connecticut. This is what we did at North Haven, and this is I think that if you do decide, you know, to pursue this for your city, I think this is really important. And we helped organize this whole thing. We wrote the public relations event and helped them, you know, get it out to the press and the community. Commissioner Klee from DEEP was there. They had some state, their local state representatives attending. And it really, Mike Frieda, who was the first selectman there, really saw this as something that was very positive for their community and really wanted to make sure that everyone there understood it. So he had the event at one of the elementary schools. The kids were there, and everyone got up and sort of spoke about what the benefits were to the project. And in his particular case, you know, he'll tell anyone, you know, the biggest benefit was I didn't have the capital and I had a need, and this program satisfied it. And with the financial guarantee, I'm not on the hook if something goes wrong. We've got a big company behind it. But he also talks about, you know, this initiative being one of the most unique thing a municipality can do. And, you know, obviously I know you're sort of going through and you're vetting what makes sense. And maybe part of it is, you know, you have an opportunity to talk to some of the towns and some of the people that have done this, you know, to pick their brain if you think that that would be helpful. Why Johnson Controls? Just a little bit for those that may not know who we are. We're Milwaukee-based. We've been in business for over 130 years. And Building Efficiency, which is the group that I'm in, we are a part of Johnson Controls. We're not a subsidiary or a special entity. We weren't just developed just to do this. We're part of, you know, the big company. So I just want to make sure you understand that. And we have extensive experience. I mean, we have teams to support every aspect of how we do projects. So we've got specialized mechanical, electrical engineers. We have specialized construction managers, operations, and then energy managers to be able to support it. So it's a full turnkey, as you can see. And the financial guarantee, this to me is the most important thing in a performance contract, because this reduces your risk. And there's always a risk when you have construction projects. We are responsible, the team in Connecticut, myself and my engineer, my operations, there's a whole team of us. Before we develop, finalize a project, you know, there is a very rigorous internal process on construction, on the financial, the guarantee. I mean, it's vetted a lot of different ways by a lot of different groups. So when we hand in a contract, you know, we as a team here in Connecticut, we own it. We're responsible for it. And obviously, if you can't track and measure, you know, performance, how do you know you're ever going to get it? I mean, I know a lot of, you know, a lot of projects, for instance, lighting. You put lighting in and you assume you're going to get some savings. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. And maybe lighting is not the right example. Mm-hmm. But the point is that measuring it and tracking and reporting savings is important. Because when we have an energy manager, for instance, on a quarterly basis, coming out and viewing the systems, there are things oftentimes that they see that are not performing well, or there's opportunities to maybe save more money. And so it's another layer of a watchdog for you. And as a company, we have done over 3,200 performance contracts. So we do it in almost every market, you know, federal government, local government, hospitals, universities, but certainly the biggest part of performance contracting is municipalities and schools. That's really where there's the biggest need, because funding is oftentimes, you know, really challenging, and oftentimes in municipalities and schools, you don't have a big engineering group, you know, you don't have a big maintenance group to do these things. And we have over $5 billion of guarantees. So this is, and that is something that we hold on our corporate books. We don't have an insurance company. We don't off-sell it. We're responsible for it. So that is, I hope that I was able to, you know, provide you with a good background of what this is and what it maybe could do for the city. I know that you've got a lot of, you know, discussion, and obviously this is something that if you think that makes sense to pursue. You know, we know that obviously you've got a competitive process to go through that, and there certainly are, you know, there are companies obviously that do this, and there's a list. You know, the state of Connecticut, you know, passed Public Act 1180, which basically, you know, the governor really kind of mandated that all state agencies do performance contracting. You know, as a way to save money. So when they went through that with the state, they vetted out about 12 different companies. So there's 12 companies. Johnson Controls is on that list, you know, of companies that they vetted out, that had the experience, that they went through the financials. Pricing is there. There's a lot of information. So, you know, that is certainly something that you can, you know, perhaps, you know, look at if it's helpful. Are there any questions?
You're very knowledgeable at what you do, I can tell.
Thank you.
Very good presentation.
Thank you very much. I love what I do. Yeah. I love what I do because I know that it helps financially, and you know, the energy part of it is, you know, that's kind of like the home run for me.
How long have you been with Johnson?
I went Johnson for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, another company for 10. So I've been doing performance contracting for a long time.
Very good.
Long time. Any other questions?
Pretty much covers it. Carm, we're going to put them for the full board.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I was kind of, I kind of ignored you. I'm like.
No, that's, the full board meeting is the 28th. So if you're available.
Of April?
Yes, April, 7 o'clock.
I would love to. I would love to.
So do you possibly email me this presentation?
I better yet, I got a copy.
Do you? Okay.
I do. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
It was just, well, he's the chairman of the board, so.
Well, yeah, that's what I was like. But I should have been more cognizant of going back and forth. I have extra copies. I don't know if anybody
I just
need one. Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
I'll make sure the board gets it.
And if I could give you my card.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So the 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the fourth Thursday of the month.
It'll be upstairs.
Upstairs.
That would be great. That would be great. And do you anticipate about the same? Was that an okay amount of time?
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot to cover, and I know that you've got three of them tonight.
It's enough to generate questions with them. That's what we'll be looking for.
And I'll get the minutes of this before the meeting, so.
Perfect. If there's anything else that comes up, you know, please let me know.
Okay.
Henry, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Your contact number is in the presentation here, right?
Yeah.
It's on the card, actually. Yeah. I don't think I left.
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah, I left my card.
Because that would be a terrible thing. We have questions.
That would really be. Do you want my card?
That's fine.
As long as you've got
she's
one.
She's going to distribute it.
Okay. Yeah, I get it out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Sure, bye-bye. Good night. Keith McGivney, I was up in Region 12. With Chucky Sweetman.
Oh my gosh,
how you
yes.
Been?
I'm good,
you're getting
how are
better,
you?
Kid. You're getting better.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate that.
See you later.
Yeah. I'm super
excited. Nice to see you. Carmen just sent the board all over.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
Take care.
Could I just, I don't know.
I'm Joe DiMartino.
Joe, yeah. Nice to meet you.
Steve.
Steve. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Because he called me at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Somehow it got overruled. Should have told me to took off. That's what he should have done. And asked me when everybody gets to
leave.
Never, Steve, I ain't called.
Hey, Finny, when did we do the boilers at the elementaries?
We had the bid opening the day of Sandy Hook.
Oh, three.
Three.
She's the biggest for the last.
I don't know about that.
And they installed them.
Henry, where can we put the stick in?
Keith, they installed them like February.
That's a little bit question. Easier for you.
Yep.
Thank you.
you like us to present?
You're up right there, my friend.
Oh, there you go. You're good.
Go get them.
Well, I want to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to show you what our project is all about. My name is Tony. It's Daniela.
Jeff.
Jay. We're Total Energy Connections. We're a Connecticut-based company. We're running right now out of Bethany. And we're here to show you guys what we think is a great opportunity for the city of Derby to enter into. I'll take you through each part of the project, and hopefully if you guys have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them for you. Now, what we did is we came in and we took a different approach than most people. We tried to do a comprehensive audit, which would consist of lighting and either HVAC, heating, cooling, motor replacements, VFDs, anything that we can get 15% of the load more than lighting to make it a comprehensive project. When you get a comprehensive project, what the utility does is they kick in a comprehensive bonus, which actually helps the project on the payback side. So when we looked at this building here, we saw that one of the biggest needs was replacing that rooftop unit that's ancient. Now, what we looked into is we looked at the unit that was there. It was a Carrier unit. That unit was already registered with Carrier 20 years ago. So they had a record of that unit and the way that unit runs. When we looked at your automation system, we saw that the automation system showed VAV units in the basement level. And when we did our investigation, we didn't see any units in the basement level, because all of the VAV controls, if you want to call them VAVs, are actually incorporated in the Carrier unit. So in your Carrier unit here, you have the valves that open and close right inside the unit. So there is no need to add additional VAVs in the downstairs units, which will actually take the project and quadruple the size of it based on what our findings were. So what we did is we went to Carrier and they said that they would be able to build the same unit, much more energy efficient than what you have now, and all the linkages, all the controls would work. It would actually give you the comfort that the first floor is looking for, because talking to Henry, there were areas that were hot, that were cold, that you really couldn't control, and you can't control them because all the, in the unit upstairs, they're all broken, unfortunately. So it can't give you that comfort that you guys were really looking for. And what we did is we saw your computer-based system, and we asked Carrier to actually come in and put in an automation system into the Carrier unit that will comply with your existing unit, so you guys can actually control it from your existing computer system. So we already went through the trouble of doing that. We also talked to them, and they're telling us that the lead time is probably about 14 to 16 weeks to build a unit, because they don't have it in stock. They actually have to build it to your specs, and they have the specs, and they can actually take it right off the curb, put it right back on the same curb, connect all the armatures, connect all the automation system to it, and the unit is functional right off the bat. And that's what we planned on doing into this building with the lighting. We noticed that a lot of your lighting was antiquated, so we went in and we did a variety of things with the lighting. We did some new, we did some retrofits, exterior we did all brand new, that we did, and I can take you through each one. So we actually have new LED fixtures in the exterior area, new HV rooftop unit changeout. With that changeout, all the rigging, disposal, lift rental, dumpster fees, lift, the crane, all that's incorporated into our proposal. Our interior lighting is a 5-year manufacturer's warranty. Exterior is a 10-year manufacturer's warranty. We actually give you the first year labor and material warranty. Then 2 to 5 and 2 to 10, we would administer the manufacturer's warranty. So all we'd ask you to do is, if you guys had your own electricians or anybody fix anything, you would actually call us, give us the old part, we'd give you the new one free of charge for 5 or 10 years. And that's in writing, guaranteed by the manufacturer. Now, as I take you through the total project cost, and we actually did as a we incorporated this building along with the parking garage. We noticed a lot of the parking garage lights run 24/7. A lot of them are failed. A lot of them just have been basically neglected for a very long time. So we went in and we decided to change all of the lighting in a parking garage to brand new LED, vapor tight in the areas, and upstairs brand new shoe boxes and floods, depending on what the situation was. Now, here is the parking garage. The total project cost is $70,598.80. Estimated annual energy savings are $15,000. Estimated utility incentives. We say estimated because once the project has been approved by the town to submit to the utility, then it will give us the final numbers that we could actually come back and say, here are your contract costs. So what we do is we estimate based on what we think the savings are. So what they did is they gave you $26,622 as an incentive, which would bring the customer balance to $44,976.80. And if we look at that, and if we go on the next page, we should be able to see the payback on this one. Right, Danny, or
the totals to the garage,
okay.
And the HVAC.
And the HVAC, okay. This one here, the total project cost for the HVAC, lighting in here, and the parking garage is $340,987.80. Estimated annual savings of $34,076.87. Estimated utility incentives of $157,795.80. That incentive there is estimated because until the city decides to go forward, the utility will not give us the final numbers for the project. We will only get them once the city picks what escrow they want to work with. Then they can submit the numbers to the utility and they'll get your savings. But we think these are pretty conservative numbers, what we think we would actually get from the utility. We have now an estimated project balance of $183,192. The utility has given us the first $100,000 on bill financing at 0%. Which would leave the customer balance of $83,192. That $83,192, we also have third-party financing that we could introduce to the town, and we can make that project either go 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 8 years, and we can make it cash positive depending on the town's and the city's needs.
How do I get to the other one, the financing? I don't have a mouse.
Maybe Henry knows how.
I don't have a mouse over here to get to the other part of the.
So essentially, you have a couple options. The approach we basically took was look at your biggest energy problems at the moment. One was Town Hall, the other one's the parking garage. We also audited the community center. We've already done work at the middle school and the high school. We did all the LED lights for both projects. We also did the
turbines.
We did the ability to be able to. What was the exact word?
Well, you can actually, before you never had the ability to actually monitor turbines and turn one on or four on. It was either all on or all off. Now we gave you the ability to actually take the turbines and turn them on based on your demand. So you could go one, two, three, or four. Now before it was either one or four and you didn't have that flexibility. Now you actually do.
So on the third party financing, you got the ability to, and we'll show that. And it's in your documents, the tax-exempt financing. That allows you to basically get low-interest finance, and you can spread that out over a number of years, depending on the size of the projects, 3, 4, 5, even longer years, in order to make it a more of a cash-positive situation for the city. So if you have larger capital projects, we know at the elementary school, there's a boiler there that needs to be replaced, but at the end of the day, it's going to be an oil-fired boiler. Because no natural gas can go to that elementary school, so it's not energy efficient. So you could put it with a lighting project and extend it into a tax exempt lease capital program to spend that, spread that out over a number of years. So it's a more palatable situation, but it's not something that the utility is going to provide you incentives to put in the oil-fired boiler over at the elementary school.
Right. So, and the reason why they don't is in order to get the dollars for gas, you'd have to convert 100% to gas. They won't allow dual fuel systems to run because then you can't take advantage of the gas credits. So that's why they don't do that. If you were willing to switch to 100% gas, there are gas dollars that we can get as long as we're 92 to 95% efficiency rating, which that's what we would actually try to shoot for. Otherwise, they wouldn't give us any of the gas dollars. So that's the bad about trying to utilize gas dollars through the utility. That's the only thing. Now, what we did is we just put in the back of our presentation a couple of frequently asked questions regarding tax-exempt municipality leases. And these are some of the stuff that we have been working through with a third-party financing arm, which is DLL. That's who does all of our financing. And that's something we would be willing to introduce to the city if they wanted to go forward and finance the $83,000 balance. Now, we were thinking, we had a couple of different approaches. Because we have that $100,000 for the 0% financing from the utility, if you were going to borrow the 83, it might be advantageous to actually borrow the 183, take the 100, and you can shift them to the school sides. If you have the schools that need projects to be done, that's another option that you can use, or you can use them on just this one building, or you can use it on splitting between both buildings. They don't care how we do it, but we only get 100 this year. Last year, what's it that we did this one?
Yeah, a little over a year ago, and it was 400,000 at the time. UI this year reduced the incentive program because they've run out of funds in the energy conservation program. Because a lot of municipalities took advantage of it over the last 4 or 5 years, and so they have so many loans that are out at 48 months, they've had a back that down to only $100,000 annually, and that's what we've been told. Probably for the next few years, that's how it's going to be, only $100,000 annually per municipality. So the third-party financing allows you to spread it out over a number of years to keep it a cash-positive situation. They work with a lot of different energy projects, and that's why it provides you the low-interest financing. And the rates are roughly from 3.5% to 5%. Based on the type of project, how long it is, things of that nature. The longer you spread it out, the interest rates get a little bit lower if the project's bigger. But for that, it's roughly somewhere between 3.5 and 3.9 for financing on that. Still affordable rates. I don't know what your borrowing capacity is in Derby. In some cities that we're working with, they aren't able to do any third-party leasing. We've worked with cities that can, so it really depends on the feedback we get from the city of what their position is and whether or not they can borrow money cheaper or they would prefer to do it this way. There's just some additional information that comes from DSL on tax-exempt municipal leasing versus the bond. But just another way to cost effectively do the project and spread it out. We didn't see there was the only other project we're working on here in the city is we're putting together numbers for the high school for moving it from electric to, that was the only other real big project we saw here. So we thought this was the most beneficial for the town to look at project this way, because utilizing the utility programs, you can utilize your savings in a much quicker fashion versus getting into a performance contract or spreading it out and then controls and things of that nature, because you already have the controls here in the building. Why not take advantage of your investment you've already made, utilize that, put it in the right product that can work with the existing controls and manage the building in a proper fashion. Unfortunately, you're unable to do that today because of the age of the equipment. But with the new carrier equipment, you'll be able to do that and manage this building in a much more efficient manner, which will allow for your heating and cooling to be handled much more efficiently. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Concerns? Other things that you're looking to accomplish?
So this does not include the community center?
That's correct.
When we put together the community center and the length of time, when we look at projects, we like to give cash neutral. When you add an HVAC to the situation, it doesn't always become cash neutral because you're not getting the savings that you do from a lighting project. But it's beneficial to put it into the utility program because it makes it comprehensive. And once we submit if you chose us and you submit the program to Pat Reeby, the UI rep, he then puts the package together and see what the incentive is really. Right now they're estimates. But the community center, when we looked at that, obviously could utilize new lights. Some of the other equipment I think is pretty new.
Well, the boiler's pretty old.
Pretty old.
So you could do it, but I don't, even if we did a boiler, I don't think we would get 15% of the load
right
in order to make it comprehensive.
And a lot of that is because of the run hours at the community center. The payback was a lot longer, but again, if it's a project that needs to get done, it can be done. It's not, but in most cases, when we're talking to municipalities, they said, It's got to be cash neutral or cash positive or we're not moving forward. So when we did audit that facility, we looked at it and said, well, it's really not a cash neutral situation. You know, let's take the things that are cash. Number one, the town hall, number one, is important. Got to get the older equipment out, get that replaced. You have the ability to utilize the $100,000 worth of financing. The garage is a no-brainer because the return on investment on the garage is like two years. Yeah. And you have your money back, and all of a sudden those savings drop into the bottom line. So it's a very, very good project, the garage, because of the run hours, and the lights are so old and they're broken, so at least it's going to get improved lighting there. And unless the garage is going away, you might as well get it done and do it so you can start saving money. So that's the approach we try to take. We don't want to get into a situation where we're trying to strap a town into a long-term contract. Put it into an energy project, get it to the energy savings are as quick as possible so you can realize the benefits. Because the lights last 13 years.
And we try to get the savings to offset the cost. This way it doesn't cost the town anything. And everything that we do basically has a 13-year lifespan through the utility. Because it's either 5 years or 50,000 hours. 50,000 hours is a really long time if you're running 8 to 10 hours a day. Your garage is running 24/7, except for your upper level, which are the shoe boxes. Those, I think, are on photocells or timers, which run 12 hours. But everything in the interior is 24/7. That's why that payback is so good on that project. It makes it a really attractive project to do. And another thing that you eliminate is your maintenance. Because when you're doing the lighting in here, you're doing the lighting there, you have eliminated your maintenance for 5 years. Because that's the life expectancy of the 50,000 hours. 5 years or 50. So for 5 years, you could count on no maintenance. Which is, if you are keeping track of that maintenance, it's a pretty hefty sum that could go towards your bottom line if you don't have to worry about it anymore. Because it's a phone call away if something should go wrong. And that's what we pride ourselves on, service. We've done a lot of work with Dave. And within 24 to 48 hours, we usually get a really good response time to get back to him and make sure that we take care of any needs that he has.
We also did Ansonia Town Hall, Ansonia High School, Middle School. We did Shelton Town Hall. We're actually working on a project for Shelton High School right now, putting a fuel cell in. That's going to save them probably close to $100,000 annually. No capital expenditure, but it's a major project. But fuel cells require X amount of kW to spend, and their high school is definitely warranted. They have almost 3.6 million kilowatts utilized in that high school over there. And you have the gas turbines. If they do the once the upgrade's done at the high school to convert from electric to natural gas, you're going to be able to utilize the gas turbines in a much more efficient manner and be able to use them much more throughout the year. So, and as when we looked at the city of Derby, we looked at there's not a lot of buildings. Let's look at the most cost-effective way to do it. Let's get it down as quickly as possible where you're utilizing the savings quicker versus a long-term contract that we've had conversations where they've had experience or cities have had experience with long-term contracts and they don't utilize the savings for 12, 13 years. And by that time, some of the equipment starts to have to be replaced. So we like to take a different approach.
Why did you skip over the other two grammar schools?
The elementary schools and the utility program, right now, biggest problem was the utility dropped the number down to $100,000. So now all of a sudden you're fighting, the town and the schools are going to start fighting for that. In elementary schools, the run hours are so, you know, they run 9 to 3. They're not open like a high school, middle school. So elementary schools are much more difficult to get in the ROI factor than most people give us the approach. But eventually you're going to have to do it. So instead of laying out capital, you would utilize the utility program as much as possible and spread that out over and through our third party finance and spread that out over a number of years. And you could set that up into third party financing to make it a cash neutral, I guess, but now the utility program will only allow you to go out 48 months. So it makes it very difficult to make it a cash, usually a cash negative situation. So if you use third party, you know, then you can spread that out over a number of years at low interest rates and improve the lighting and do it so you can do it in a cash neutral situation. We need guidance from the town or the school side to say, yes, we're willing to do something of that nature because we need to replace those lights it's great if you can replace something else where you can make it comprehensive so you can put it together. But I think in the one of the elementary schools, it's a brand new natural gas boiler, and the other one's an oil fired. So you can include it, but you're not going to get the energy savings. You know, so you're not going to be able to utilize the that. So, and if you use the $100,000 on the town side for town hall and the garage, it won't be until the following year we are able to access more incentives from the utility. But it can still be done.
Any other questions?
Nope.
All right, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
We appreciate your time.
I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
So you're working close by anyway, huh? You're in Shelton and Ansonia?
Yes, yeah. I do a lot of work locally. I grew up in Shelton.
Oh, okay.
So.
We're doing some stuff in the Britain, too.
Shelton's as big as Derby, Ansonia's something together.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing a lot of stuff up in New Britain. We're working with the mayor up there and schools up there on some projects, you know.
Right.
We were trying to find locations. The Connecticut RFP came out for the 2 to 20 meg, and we were trying to find a location that would fit into the program because it would be a tax revenue generator for a municipality. We just couldn't find the, you know, we had two great locations, one in New Britain, and the substation wouldn't support the way they designed that substation. So like, you have to wheel off the power, and very, very difficult to do, you know. And you had a location here in Derby we were interested in, potentially it was going to be a dog farm. I said, we could put it in the dog park, I got the transmission line up there, but just not enough time to get the financial people together, sit down with all the town committees, get approval, move it. But the revenue stream would be nice. So, you know, we try to keep our clients abreast of new situations that become available like that could be a revenue generator for the tax.
How do you write that?
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Have a good
okay.
Appreciate it.
Moving on. Number 10. Motion to adjourn. Second.
So, motion to go to Archie's.